I say be happy with what you got.
You'll be happy. Me, I want what's coming to me.
Oh, well, what's coming to you, Tony?
The world, Chico. And everything in it.
This is a preview of Now Playing's bonus review of Scarface.
Say hello to my little friend!
Our spring 2018 donation drive is currently underway, and Arnie, Stewart, and Jacob are reviewing 11 movies where Al Pacino plays cops and mobsters.
Now you're talking to me, baby. That I like, okay? Keep it coming, baby.
You can hear these reviews by donating to Now Playing.
You hear that guy? You gotta listen to him. You know his sense.
It's your support that keeps Now Playing operating and putting out new shows without missing a single episode in over 7 years. That's over 400 weeks with a new free show every single Tuesday.
Who else can you trust? That's why you pay us what you do. You trust us.
Find out details how to hear this full episode at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
You want to give me the cash?
Or do I kill your brother first?
Before I kill you.
This week, donors of $25 or more will get this week's Scarface podcast.
I don't even tell her! You fuck with me! You fuck with your back!
Here's a preview of that show.
All I have in this world is my balls and my word, and I don't break them for no one. Do you understand?
This podcast preview may contain harsh language and plot spoilers.
Is that what you're worried about?
I'm not worried about it. You should worry about it.
Listener discretion is advised.
Look, Tony, baby. Are we gonna talk or am I gonna bust your wise ass spit balls?
Yeah, you're saying this is really violent. I feel like the film almost peaks at this moment, 20, 30 minutes in. Like, it is fantastic.
It is a great scene. It's suspenseful. Now, F. Murray Abraham Suarez is the connection man he had. And like I said in the plot summary, Suarez just wanted them to be movers for some marijuana. Tony's like, screw that, we're better than that. Even though he's wearing a dishwasher's outfit. He just came from washing dirty dishes, but he demands more. Suarez set this up for them to be killed, right? He thought this was going to go bad, or he expected them to die.
Yeah, I took it as they thought it was very dangerous, so let's send these nobodies. You know, if they do the deal, they do the deal. If not, well, we don't lose any of our good men.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're the lowest on the totem pole. It really doesn't matter. It'd be great if they succeed, but you constantly sense that Suarez is hoping that this guy, he'll later say that, you know, he's repulsed by this peasant, that he doesn't like him. Just, he can't see the ambition in him. And that will be a fatal flaw for everyone, because Tony can go the distance. He will go all the way. But as we start out here, yeah, they're going from working all night at a restaurant washing dishes and watching people mill into a nightclub. I do love Tony being like, what do those guys have that I don't have? Well, he is next going to move into the coke moving business at this hotel. And this, again, was what really got this movie an X. It almost wasn't released.
I did read about people walking out, like Kurt Vonnegut walked out because of this chainsaw scene.
This is what I remembered as the first scene, but this is also what I knew going into this movie, was that there was violence with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
I expected that to be at the end. I also knew, say hello to my little friend. That's all I knew when I was watching this in the 90s, were those two things. But I just expected more. I was surprised it was as tame as it was. Maybe I'm just really, really jaded.
Yeah, maybe by today's standards, it seems a little tame. But I still, again, I like the sleaziness because I'm going in 3-hour epic. Oh, this is Godfather all over again. Nope. This is going to be a very sleazy, violent film that just, it doesn't have that air of aristocracy that the Godfather had. And this is the low-level criminals that are just getting in there quick and dirty.
Here's something that I never experienced either time watching it alone. I watched it for this review just yesterday. I watched it in the 90s. But when we saw it in an audience, you talk about the sleaze, Jacob, they were laughing and I was laughing with them. You know, we talk about the difference of seeing a movie alone versus with an audience. Things seemed a lot funnier when I was watching it with them, and they laughed at things that I never would have really thought of as intentional humor, but
they made it a really fun experience to realize that they realize the ridiculousness of it, and it becomes really fun in that way, but not in Rocky Horror fashion. They're really into the ride.
Yeah, no, I watched this by myself, and I wasn't laughing, but I had a smile on my face. I'm like, again, excess. That we're going to say that word a lot during this film review. You think about a drug deal, and what does the guy pull out to scare you? A chainsaw. Like, you just don't see that coming.
Well, Oliver Stone insists when he talked to Miami-Dade police officers, there were at least three instances of real-life use of chainsaw in drug buys, and that while he never personally witnessed the aftermath of any of them, he did try to make this authentic. To sell this as this goes on all the time in Miami. And I do think everyone that comes to Scarface knows about it. Like Psycho and Scarface, you know there's a shower scene. You just know it. They even sold Scarface shower curtains where it looks like someone is getting chainsawed in a silhouette on it. I mean, it is a big part of this movie's lore. I knew about it before I saw the film. And yeah, Arnie, I mean, I think you're right. By today's standards, they didn't have Tom Savini there to make a head that gets carved in half. But the idea of it is frightening enough, and the MPAA certainly was against it. And it was Martin Bregman, the producer, that really, he had to go and get federal officers, Time Magazine reporters, and psychiatrists to petition the MPAA and finally convince them that when people see this, they will get a very strong anti-drug message. Keep in mind, Reagan, Just Say No, all of that was something they wanted to push. So they let it go by because they believed if people saw it, they wouldn't laugh. They would never use drugs again.
It's telling me not to sell drugs. I'll take it that far.
Yeah, don't deal with the Colombians is what it's telling me.
Yeah, exactly. And you know that the second you see Marta, right? I mean, she's got a hard look on her face. That's just, you walk in a room and Marta's on the bed watching cop shows. You turn around and you get out.
And his backup is not very good backup. He's like, we're going to leave the door open. If I'm not out in 15 minutes, you come in. They start talking to a girl in a bikini. They lose track of time.
Again, Manny is not really good for Tony, except for the fact that, yeah, he's a networker. And here he is, of course, flirting. Later, he's going to try to teach him how to do cunnilingus in the air and get girls automatically on the beach. And that fails, too. But there is some kind of charm about Manny that you keep him around because he brings people. Tony always has a scowl. Tony never feels like he would draw people in. He needs a Manny to get people in here. But what he needs right now is a Manny to come in here and save him, because after they carve up Angel, they're going to do it to him as well. And Manny eventually figures it out. Again, some great camera work where we're craning in and out of windows. And I just love the fact that Hector, like, to get out of the room, uses the chainsaw to just run into the next room and out the window. My plan is to fall out the window and hit concrete, because that's better.
I mean, the fact that there's going to be a big shootout and it's just crowds of Floridians sitting there watching. Again, you think about Godfather and it's all secretive and plots and plans. Here, we're just going to shoot machine guns in the middle of the street and then drive away. It's very Grand Theft Auto, which I'm sure this was an inspiration for that video game series.
Especially Vice City.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's very real life. Again, the media coverage was they were always taking pictures of bodies lying in the middle of streets. And this is one of the few scenes that they were able to, it's actually the Miami boardwalk, they were actually there to film it and capture that authenticity. But much of what you're going to see later is, yeah, LA, Santa Barbara, or a studio set. And that includes the Babylon Club, which is a different name, but a real place. There is a great book called Hotel Scarface, if you want to know all about it. But when we get to this nightclub and you see all these people like El Gordo and the Diaz brothers and all of this, they're based on real life figures that were hanging out in this hotel, along with Don Johnson and Philip Michael Thomas, too. Like, the posers were mixing with the real people, and they're just cameos. You might be wondering why we take the time to even notice them. It's because Stone wanted to acknowledge all the people he had met at Mutiny. And if you want to know more about it, the book's called Hotel Scarface, and there are incredible stories about this nightclub. It's just as interesting as Scarface itself, all the things going down in this hotel. But it's the perfect place for Tony to move up in the world. He is going to be offered a job from Robert Loggia.
Yeah, Robert Loggia. We've talked about him in the past, about his role in Lost Highway. I think a lot of people know him from Big, where he was the kindly toy company owner. But I more associate him with these violent type roles, and here he's kind of combining the two. He's the kindly drug lord who's going to play honest, and he has rules about don't get high on your own supply and things like that. He's going to take Tony under his wing and see him as a useful tool, but also he's going to play fair.
And he's not going to follow his rules. That is why we agree with Tony. Tony later in the car is like, this guy's soft. I can take this guy. I can get what he has. And the reason why is, yeah, he says two things. Don't get high on your own supply. We see that definitely doesn't apply to Michelle Pfeiffer. More on her in a bit.
But that's not her supply. It's his supply.
You know what I mean. And two, the real rule number one is don't underestimate another guy's greed. And they're doing it right there. They think Tony is a fucking peasant. They don't mind that he's off dancing with Michelle Pfeiffer. They don't think that he could be a threat to their operation. Little do they know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what surprised me watching this is Tony goes after his boss's girl right away. Like, not even subtle about it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it took as long as it did, which I think may only be 6 months. It's really hard to get a bead on the time frame here. I know that not long after the scene, we'll see something that says 3 months later, and then I'm just lost as to time. I mean, you're in Florida, there's no seasons, it's always warm. But what shocked me is she's not into him. Elvira, Michelle Pfeiffer, she's there, she's bored with the Babylon Club because Frank always goes to the Babylon Club. She's bored with the talk about drugs. She wants to dance. Frank says no. So she asks Tony to dance. Now, Tony's taken with her and lets her know that right away. But I thought she might be into him as well by the fact that she asked him to dance.
No, I think that was just to hurt Frank. And I think she doesn't really like anything, right? I mean, she is the saddest character for me in Scarface. At least Tony has dreams. Tony wants the world, and Manny wants to get laid. This chick just wants to zone out.
Yeah, Tony's gonna be like, I want children, and I want you to be the mother. I don't know what he sees in her. Like, this character, Elvira, I think you could cut her out of this film, and it's not gonna make much of a difference. Like, she doesn't seem to push the story anywhere.
Well, you're thinking from the mentality that women bring something intellectual to a man's life. He is seeing her as an object. This is an angel who literally is introduced descending from heaven in an elevator all in white. And that's what he sees. What he sees is a perfect vision, what a man who has everything would have on his arm. And he's even deluded to thinking that he can look in her eye and she likes him. Like, this is all in your head, Tony. She likes nothing.
I think she likes drugs. I think she likes drugs a lot.
She's an addict. I don't know how she likes them. I think she's addicted.
I also think that he wants her because Frank has her. Yeah. I think, you know, before they went to the club, they went to Frank's house. And Frank tells him, the problem you're going to have is where to spend all the money. And Tony is really being seduced by this. He wants Frank's house. He wants Frank's lifestyle. He wants Frank's hot woman. And yeah, saying the mother of my children, if nothing else, it's at least good genes, right? If not exactly someone who's going to be stimulating. The fact that she rebels against Frank makes me think she'll have more personality than she ever has. But
exactly,
she really does just come across as very one note in this movie, and I swear to God, it's the same note she plays as Stephanie in Grease 2, where she just plays too cool for the pink ladies, and she doesn't want to be with a T-Bird because she doesn't want to be anyone's lady. She just went from one set to the other, and the only difference here is she's dancing slightly better in this club than she does during Cool Rider.
If you'd like to hear this entire episode, it's available to listeners who donate by August 31st, 2018.
Remember I told you when you started, the guys who last in this business are the guys who fly straight, low-key, quiet.
And the guys who want it all, chicas, champagne, flash, they don't last.
This series is available along with retrospectives on The Godfather, Assault on Precinct 13, Jurassic World, Jaws, Deep Blue Sea, plus the Al Pacino Cops and Al Pacino Mobsters series. The more you donate, the more bonus podcasts you get to hear.
Well, you don't have to measure, man. That was fun.
That was fun.
Am I right?
That was fun.
Stop buying fun.
If you enjoy the show we do week after week, help keep us on the air. You can find a link to pledge by clicking the banner at the top of our website, nowplayingpodcast.com, or go to nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
I'm all yours now, Tony, you see? I'm all yours now.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Ingonza Media Incorporated.
Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with the motion pictures reviewed or otherwise referred to herein. All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of the respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review and no infringement is intended.
You worry too much, you know? You're gonna have a heart attack.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of Ingonza Media Incorporated and may not be used without the expressed written permission of Ingonza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved. Now Playing is a Ingonza Media production, copyright 2018, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Ingonza Media Incorporated.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. The last time you're gonna see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you.